This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered. Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is. Hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, how we feeling at 3:05 on this Thursday morning? 888-808-1019. Basking in the glow of a 91-90 come-from-behind victory. The New York Knicks go into Boston, win their fifth consecutive road game. Just hear that for a second. In the NBA playoffs, the New York Knicks have now, and I know it's kind of been a trend, although OKC, bucked that trend last night, but a lot of, in this round in particular, obviously, a lot of road wins. But the Knicks have won five consecutive road games. They are 5-0 on the road in the NBA playoffs. That's incredible. And last night, they continued to show their resilience. And, I mean, they just kept plodding along, keeping it close. Let's be honest, it wasn't even that close, 20 points. They got it closer. And then Mikal Bridges took over in the fourth quarter. He's taken over these games at the end of them. His sequence of what happened in overtime in game one, what he did last night, the steal to end the game, 14 points in the fourth quarter, just an incredible, incredible performance from a guy who is much maligned all year. Like, let's be honest. We'll get into this in a little bit. I want to get back to your calls. But think about the guys who've been much maligned all year. Right? Mikal Bridges. Obviously, rough season. Offensively, nowhere near. The shot hasn't fallen, especially from three. You know, just much maligned. Karl Anthony Towns, Mitch Robinson. Tom Thibodeau. Like, all of these guys have made major impacts, and they've been questioned by the fans all year long. It's really been an incredible performance. We'll get more into that in a little bit, but I want to get to your calls. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Omar in the Bronx. What's up, Omar?
Yes, New York, stand up. Let's go, Knicks.
Let's go.
That's what we're talking about. I don't want to hear anything about Thibodeau anymore.
Yep.
Bridges, I mean, I want to apologize to Bridges because I was going in on him the whole time.
Sure.
We know everyone right now knows why he's here. And it hasn't been Bodega Cat. You haven't seen the best of him yet. And you know, Madison Square Garden is going to be rocking. This is unbelievable. We haven't seen anything like this. I don't know. The last time I felt like this, he said Yankees. The last time their heart right now.
Yeah, no.
It's six out of five right now.
Yeah, no. I mean, the last time a Knick fan has felt like this. I mean, you got to go back to 1999, really. Like this is as excited as I've been as a Knick fan in forever. I can't even remember what it felt like. I tell the story a lot. I don't know why this one sticks out to me, but I'm driving home from like a tournament baseball game, and I'm driving home with a friend of mine and a teammate at the time. You know, Gaspar Tumminello. Never forget it. His dad was driving us home, and I remember listening to the Knick game in the car. Knick's Pacers. Can't wait to get home and watch the game. We're listening to it in the car. I'm nervous. Even back then, I was kind of like this. And I'm like, let's get home. As soon as I walked into my door, I opened the door. I threw my baseball bag on the floor. I turned on the television, and there was Patrick Ewing missing a finger roll. Like, just as I turned on the TV. Like, I have to go all the way back to that to remember feeling this excited about the New York Knicks. To be this into a New York Knicks postseason series. Because now, make no mistake, now you have to win it. Like, I know we're all talking high, and I'm excited, and I'm stamping that it's a real legitimate championship team, and that they have an opportunity to do it, and we can forget talking about the difference with last year, and they're not this enough, and they're not that enough, and he just mentioned forget about the talk about Tibbs. Yeah, unless there is some amazingly terrible collapse where the coach is just mindless, and I can't even imagine it getting that, like, Tibbs is now, forget it. I mean, he's the coach. There's no more discussion about Tom Thibodeau. He is the coach of this team, and rightfully so. He's having an incredible series. But now you have to win this series. Now the pressure's on you. Now you are the betting favorite. Now you have to go out there and win it. You got to take game three or four. I think three would be obviously nice, but I would get nervous about game four. I would love to go out there, kick the Celtics while they're down, have them licking their wounds. I don't like the idea they get 2 days. I wish they were playing on Friday night as opposed to Saturday, to be honest with you. But Saturday, 3:30, Madison Square Garden, I've already read a story that the cheapest ticket to get in, the get-in price for this game is just under $800. Who had it? Celtics game three is the most expensive New York Knicks ticket game on record. The current getting price is $704. So I don't know if that's after fees or whatever, but you are talking about the hottest ticket that maybe, World Series, it was cheaper to get into Yankee Stadium during the World Series than that. It is going to be, that building is going to be crazy. Now, I'm always concerned that the everyday Ruckus fan gets priced out at $700 a ticket. But, that atmosphere there is going to be insane. And the Knicks have to follow through. The Knicks did not play well at Madison Square Garden against the Pistons. Plain and simple, they just didn't. They lost 2 out of 3. And the one game, it took a 21-0 run in the fourth quarter to even win that one. They have been a far better road team so far in this playoff run than they have been at home. That has got to change. They need to at least make Game 5 an elimination game. That's the bare minimum. They have to take 1 of 2. I'd love it to be Game 3, clearly, and I'd hate to give them the momentum of winning Game 3, and then Game 4 is now a must-win for the Knicks because you can't just dissipate this 2-game lead. You have to win one of these 2 games at Madison Square Garden. Have to. Bare minimum, back in Boston for a game 5 with an opportunity to close it out there. That's the bare minimum. So we'll see. They need to do it, no doubt, but it feels like that. I mean, right now, this is as excited as I've been to see something like that. Mark in California. What's up, Mark? You all right there?
Yeah, man. I was just laying on the couch right now. I was just watching some stuff and then looking back at the game, man, I was just watching the Yanks one tonight, big win. So, which they should
have. One of those nights.
Should have swept San Diego, man. It's just disgusting. But, I mean, Devin Williams was pumped up tonight, man. Got a little fist bump. Haven't seen that in a while because he's been trash. But
he'll be just fine.
Yeah, he's been just fine. But listen, Celtics have held the Knicks to 100.9 points per possession. So the Celtics defense is playing very, very good, right? And so, you know, outside of Bridges, the guy you really need to get going is Josh Hart. Bridges is you know what I mean? Listen, great defense, man, but do I trust him moving forward? No, I don't.
Listen, why not? Why would you not trust him? Look what he just did the last three games.
You need Josh Hart, though. You need to get him going because his defense and the way he plays physical, I mean, he's little.
But what about Josh Hart tells you? What about Josh Hart's the leading scorer on the team in this game?
Yeah, he's 23 points. And so the thing is that they're going to allow Hart to shoot because they're not even, they're trying to double team Brunson. They're trying to go after Bridges. They're trying to go after Towns. So you need him to get going. Bridges is going to get his shot. His game isn't the three ball. His shot is the mid-range jumper.
Yes.
That's his shot.
100%.
He makes that shot 100 times. I'd rather trust him. But in the Detroit series, you saw him just jumping up at the line. Like, I think in game three, he missed like seven straight pull-up jumpers. It's just, he does that too much. And in this game, it was methodical of them just dishing the ball to Brunson because they were double-teaming Brunson and Hart got the dish out to either OG in the corner or Mikhail in the corner, right? And so that's where it is. But Hart just does so much for this team.
Yeah, like, but I understand your point about Hart, but I don't understand the point of you got to get him going. Again, he's he shot 50% from the three-point line, 3 of 6. He had,
but he's very consistent.
Which
he's
is good for him. And he got 23 points, leading all scorers. Like, he kind of was going. Like, you know, it's not like yeah, you want to just say he's an important figure in this series, no doubt. Of course, everyone on the team is. Like, they need all of them. They need all of them. Because they, other than Mitch Robinson and then obviously Deuce, they didn't really have a bench. Payne's the only other guy who played in this game. 5 minutes and took the worst shot of the game. His three was the worst shot of the game.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
But, like, yeah, of course. But I don't know why. I think we're past the point of not trusting Mikhail Bridges. I'm sorry. I just think we're past that. Now, do I think he'll go out and score 40? No, he scored 14 points in this game and dominated it. He is the number one figure coming out of this game. He's the player who won this game. He's the guy we're all talking about. He's the guy we're discussing, you know, whether or not if he's already determined to be worth all the picks they traded for him. He's the guy who scored all the points in the fourth quarter and dragged them back. He's the guy who's ended the game with two defensive plays in the first two games of this series on the road in Boston. He's the guy. The idea that you say you're still moving forward, I don't trust him. How could you not trust him? When the game's on the line, who's played better? You could argue he's been the best player with the game on the line, even with Brunson. Like, obviously, Brunson had the game-winning shot and played an excellent game six to close out the Pistons and played very well with big-time shots down the stretch against Boston in game one. But, like, honestly, just all-around game, because we know he's not a defensive player, Brunson. Like, if you just talk about all-around game, the impact on both sides of the ball, who's had a better last three games than Brunson, than Bridges? And he's the hero of this game. I trust him implicitly. I absolutely trust Mikal Bridges. Stuart in Brooklyn, what's up, Stu?
Why do people rain on people's parades, Chris?
Yeah, I mean,
Chris. We have to enjoy it. God, when was the last time this was going on? Oh, 94. I'll go back
to
94.
Yeah, well, I mean, 99. You got the four-point play. You've got, obviously, Allen Houston's.
I still see that in my head. Larry Johnson's setting it up.
So, I mean, that's pretty much what you got to go back to.
No, yeah. Why can't people just leave it alone? Enjoy the moment. Let's go out and beat the Celtics. Let's go out and beat the bad Celtics. And let's get to the next round and see where it goes from there. And no more criticism of Tom Thibodeau. He had the defense in the fourth quarter like nobody's business. And he's the coach. There's no more talk. And Bridges, he's worth the five picks. He's proved himself in crunch time, which how many players in New York have proved themselves crunch time?
It's literally all we care about.
That's all we care about. We care about Aaron Judge maybe coming in the World Series.
That's it.
That would be excellent. But Bridges, he's come through. Josh Hart come through. And nobody's better on defense than Anunoby.
Anunoby.
And Bridges plays defense also. I mean, come on. Let it alone, guys. Enjoy it. Let's hope they get to the next round. Definitely we have to get to the next round. And then take it from there.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Stu. Look, I mean, they still have to win two more games. And now game three becomes extremely important. But I think that's part of it. Look at how well they've played down the stretch of these games. It's undeniable that they are mentally tougher than the Boston Celtics. They are mentally tougher. The end of these games come down to that. And the Celtics have bad possession after bad possession, bad shot after bad shot, not getting to the basket, missing shots. And it's not just Tatum, and I know he's dealing with a wrist. It's not just Tatum missing shots. Brown's, 8 of 23 in this game. They shot 36% from the floor. Tatum, 5 of 19. Horford, 2 of 11. White, 6 of 17. Brown, 8 of 23. Al Horford, Tatum, 1 of 5 from 3. Horford, 0 for 5. Drew Holiday, 0 for 2. Derek White, 3 of 11. Jaylen Brown, 2 of 7. Like, they just... And down the stretch, they were turning the ball over. They got 16 turnovers in this game. They were sloppy with it. I mean, they just looked completely, and Porzingis plays 14 minutes. He has the 1-3 he took that he hit. He scores 8 points in this game. Like, if Porzingis isn't going to be a factor, which is it's a break for the New York Knicks, there's no doubt. It's an immense break. He is a game changer. He is you could argue the difference in this team. Him and Holiday are, a main cog in the championship team that they were last year. And right now, he just isn't a part of this. Plain and simple, he's not a part of it. But down the stretch of this game, they are physically and mentally tougher. And nothing screamed it to me more than the decision Mazzulla made to foul Mitch Robinson. Like, that, to me, that tells you all you need to know. They are in a place where they fouled Mitch Robinson so that they could make the Knicks take him off the floor. They put themselves in the bonus. They put themselves in the bonus in the fourth quarter so that Mitch Robinson wouldn't be on the floor. It's one thing to do it to put him to the foul line. It's one thing if you're in the bonus and you foul Mitch and you send him to the line. That I get. That's a strategy. This was, you knew they weren't going to allow it. You weren't anywhere close to the bonus. The Knicks were going to substitute somebody in. They did it so that Mitch Robinson could get off the floor because both of the bigs, him and Karl-Anthony Towns, on the floor at the same time was presenting an enormous problem for the Celtics. That's coaching. Tibbs has done an incredible job. And it's, you know, time to talk about him too, because this is his team. And they are, we talk about minutes. We talk about how much they play. And right now, they don't look tired. They're the better team. They have better legs. They're smarter. They make the right play. They're clearly better defensively. They are just flat out the better team down the stretch of this game. And that is, I think, let's be fair, I think you contributed to two different things. One, the pressure cooker that the Detroit Pistons put them through, and more, even more to the point, playing as much as they play. Being tested as much as they're tested. Playing down the stretch in the fourth quarter. Like, we worry. The whole thing about minutes is that you worry about where the legs will be in these series. You get into a seven-game series. Now, again, this is only the second series. You got to win another two. They're halfway through. You know, like, they still got to win another two games just to get halfway through to the ultimate goal. But as of right now, I think you could argue playing them as much as he plays them has been a major benefit, because they, in both series, even against the young upstart Pistons, were the better, smarter, you know, more legs, making sound decisions. They were the better team. The more prepared, mentally tough, physically prepared team in the fourth quarter in all of these games. And I think that is a direct line to the coach. I think you have to give him his due. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. More of your Nick calls as we celebrate the 91-90 victory and the two-game lead, and probably the two best wins that the New York Knicks have had in 26 years, and the day that we can look back on where we didn't have to wonder, we didn't have to dream. It's here. The Knicks are a championship-caliber team.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Sets up high, stares at Lindor, the payoff pitch. Vientos hits it high in the air to left field. It's got legs. It's deep. It's back near the wall. It is gone! Mark Vientos has added yet another chapter to what is becoming a ridiculous postseason for the New York Mets. He's tied the game.
When New York sportsmans talk about it here, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 3:30. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. I got you for another hour and a half as we take you to the warm-up show at 5-888-808-1019. Let's take a listen to how it sounded on the broadcast. We'll play some of the highlights, and I want to play one piece of sound from the post-game show. But let's go through some of the highlights here. It was ugly early on. In this game, obviously, Karl-Anthony Towns is really the offense through the first half. Nothing else is happening. And then, of course, as they start to, after falling behind 20 points, after they're still down 20 points with like 4 minutes left in the third. It wasn't like 20 points to start the second half. It was 20 points, 4 minutes left in the third. They're down 10 with 4 minutes left in the game. Like, they just, it was remarkable what they were able to do. But let's start hearing some of the highlights. We'll just go through them. I don't even know what's coming at me. We'll just play them and react to them. Let's enjoy this moment as much as we can and try and relive watching last night with my kids draped all over me. I'm trying to watch, you know, the Knick game. I do have the Yankee game on. I was paying less attention to it than I was the Knick game. But, my son's so obsessed with freaking fantasy baseball. He's nonstop. So he's just nonstop, and I'm like, I'm trying to watch the Knick game. So let's see if I missed anything. Here we go. Let's start with the highlights from game two as the Knicks take a commanding 2-0 lead as we head back to Madison Square Garden for game number three on Saturday afternoon. Let's go.
McBride watching Tatum with the spin, a lean, and a kick. Pritchard free.
So that's where they go back up after the Knicks had kind of battled back, got it down to 12. That put it back to, 15 there? Is that a three? I didn't hear it. 16. Got it back to a 16-point lead. And really, that was a turning point. that was really like, you felt like, okay, well, it's one of those moments where, okay, you're starting to make a run. They get it back to 16. This isn't going to happen. And that's the last basket they make before the Knicks go on an incredible run. And really, I believe was it one of the last baskets of the game, field goals of the game outside of the dunk? Yeah, that's the last field goal of the game until the Tatum dunk later on. But so now the Knicks are down 16 points. Let's hear what happens next.
On the wing, Bridges, he'll put up a three. Good! Big shot! And Bridges, 14 in the fourth quarter. 9-0 Nick run.
Now, that's the three. That was that called a two originally? Is that the one that they take back and call a three? Was that earlier?
I think that's the one.
That's
remember,
the one.
They
yeah,
thought
yeah.
it was a three, Harlan and Reggie. The
right.
rest called it a two.
Called it a
and
two.
And when they reversed it, Harlan said,
yeah.
we were right.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So that's the two that gets eventually called a three. 14 points in the fourth quarter for Bridges. I mean, what can you say about this guy? And we talked about it. A guy that has been absolutely dogged by this fan base. Everyone questioning why the hell they did it. As Giannis is, you know, having his troubles and it's going ugly in Milwaukee. Oh, man, now we don't have picks to get another superstar here. This guy isn't it. And right now he's just been absolutely dominant in this fourth quarter. And these shots in this game in particular, because, you know, even in game one, it wasn't so much his offense as his defense and some of the game-winning. He did hit the big three in overtime and he had the big rebound. More than just defense, but it was game-winning plays, and he continues to do that and adding 14 points as he's dragging them back. His mid-range shot, he got into a little bit of a groove. He did take one bad three that was off, but he gets into a little bit of a groove. He hits that three, initially ruled a two, then ruled a three, and the Knicks were kind of on a roll from that point on as the Celtics continue to miss everything. So here we go from there.
Shot clock at five over Horford. Rebound offensively by Josh Hart. Outside, Brunson at three.
Who else? Here comes Brunson, his first points of the fourth.
Yeah, that's off the miss. Kind of a loose ball rebound from Hart. Gets it out to Brunson with the big three. What can you say about Brunson? If he didn't have a great offensive game, obviously, in this game, but when it mattered, when it's time to hit shots, he hits two big threes in that fourth quarter. Let's see where we go from there.
It's Hart across the lane, and a teardrop will go. And it's a five-point game. 13-2 New York Knicks run. Closest it has been in the second half.
Yeah, five-point game at that point. A little floater from Josh Hart, who again, look, he does whatever is needed. And in this game, amazingly enough, like when you say someone like Josh Hart does what's needed, like there is no better example, especially a guy like him who, when we say that, we typically mean the hard fought rebound like we just heard in the previous clip, like a steal, an assist, a rebound, the occasional open three. But he leads the team in scoring. Like, as this team was struggling offensively, when you say he does what they needed him to score last night. Like, that's really what they needed. They needed him to score. And that's exactly what he did. And he makes that 5-foot trip. Now, I think that's, at the time, it's called a 5-point lead. In the highlight, it's a 5-point lead. Then they changed
the three. It was
delayed
at the timeout
yes.
after that
yep.
when they made the scoring change.
Right. So it actually made it a 4-point lead, not a 5-point lead. But that's
when the Knicks have the ball next, and the highlight will hear when Towns scores, they're
yep.
down 4, not 5.
Right. All right, so let's hear that Towns basket.
Brunson, the cutting heart inside. A lot of traffic. Towns, put it down. Tips it back through. 2-point game and fouled on the play.
Right. So that's a 2-point play and fouled, and he hits the foul shot. I'm assuming that's not a highlight. So he hits the foul shot to bring it to a 1-point game. And you can feel it slipping away from the Boston Celtics. You could just feel it. It's very rare to be in that position as an underdog down 20 points the second night in a row against the defending champs. And you can feel it. Like there at that point, you believe the Knicks are going to win. When he hits that free throw and it's a 1-point game, and you just say to yourself, it's a 1-point game right now with 2.5 minutes left, and the Celtics have no answers offensively. I mean, just, it's a remarkable game, and it doesn't stop there. Let's see where we go next.
Here's the most dangerous man in the building with the ball. Clutch player. The award went to him. A chance for the lead here for the first time tonight.
For the lead.
Absolutely amazing.
The first lead of the game with a minute and 27 minute and 21. Am I missing it? Yeah, I'm sorry. 2 minutes left. 1:59. 1:59, he makes that typical Brunson 18-foot jump shot. And, I mean, watching this game and watching it slip through the fingers of the Boston Celtics. And, again, I want to give a lot of credit to the Knicks. There's no doubt. But you could just feel it. They're missing every shot. We played the first highlight is a Boston field goal. That's it. They don't get another one until the Tatum dunk. And they don't, like, have any sort of offense going whatsoever. It's Tatum. They go under the basket at one point, and they get the missed shot from Brown, and the was it White who got the rebound and didn't go back up with it, or went back up with it and couldn't make it? Like, there was just nothing. Yeah, Derek, I think that's coming up now. Brown misses the eight. I don't know if that'll be part of the highlight, but yeah. The next possession is a foul from Brunson, and they get the ball back. Brown misses an 18-foot jump shot. Derek White has the rebound right under the basket, and he can't put it in. And the Knicks are off and away, and then Brunson hits another shot. That's probably what we're going to – I'm probably ruining it, but let's go with the highlight.
Brunson will make a move. The jitterbug to the rack, and he got it to go. Run by New York.
This is unbelievable.
For a second consecutive game on the floor of the defending champs.
A 21-2 run, and that was really an important sequence because, I mean, Derek White gets it right off the rim, and he's unable to put it back in. Hart gets the rebound. They go right back and take a three-point lead. That was a huge, huge missed layup. I mean, that's when you know nothing is going right. And Brown looked scared to shoot it, too. Like, it just – early on in that game, Brown was trying to take over. He was getting to the basket. He was creating problems for the Knicks. You know, Tatum as well. They were turning down three-pointers to try and get layups. Kenny Smith was talking about it at the halftime. And then at the end of the game, it looked like he was afraid to take shots. And he misses that shot. White misses the easy tip right around the rim. And the Knicks go and get that – big-time shot, the layup at the basket and take a three-point lead. Karl-Anthony Towns fouls Tatum on the next possession. They get the two free throws. It's a one-point lead for the Knicks. Let's see if that's where we pick it up.
24.2 on the clock.
Robinson back on the floor. They're a plus 21 with Robinson in.
Tatum right to the hole! And the Celtics the lead!
Yeah, so Tatum just comes, I mean, just blows right past Mitch. They put Mitch back in the game for defense. Tatum just, I mean, in the one big play that Tatum makes in this game, he just absolutely just blows right past everybody and goes right to the rim. It was a smart move. The Knicks are afraid to foul in that spot, and you get a good basket, and it gives them the lead. And even then, I got to be totally honest with you, at this point, I still think the Knicks are going to win the game. At this point, I'm still confident the Knicks are going to find a way to win this game. Obviously, you get the Brunson foul on a typical, let's be honest, there was a couple of them, right? There was the early on in the game, and a couple went against the Knicks. I thought it was a soft foul on White to give him three free throws earlier in the game. Then Bridges gets called on a foul as White's going out of bounds. That was just a ridiculous call. So, I mean, listen, this has been a different series than the Pistons series. It's been officiated a little bit, obviously. They've let them play. There's been a physical element to the game, and certainly Karl-Anthony Towns. I feel like in both series, including this Knicks series, he's been fouled going to the basket, and they haven't called it. But Brunson kind of has that. It goes up. Maybe there's a hand on his waist. He gives the head nod, gets the foul, hits two foul shots, and it sets up the biggest possession of the game. 12 seconds left. Celtics have the ball with a chance to win it and even the series at one apiece.
It's Tatum. Robinson's on him. Tatum maneuvering. Oh, the ball knocked away. Another great defensive play for the Knicks. They've got it. They've won it. New York has gone up 2-0. And defense again at the end.
It's a great call. It's a really good call. And honestly, it's every bit as sexy, isn't it? It's every bit as sexy as Brunson hitting the three. To end it on a defensive play. And first of all, I have no idea what Tatum is doing. Tatum dribbles across the court, goes into the corner, goes up with an angle where it's impossible to put it towards the basket, looking for a pass, obviously. And he throws it. He's not playing the man. Bridges is doing the right thing. He's watching the ball while keeping, an eye on his man. But once he realizes that he's about to dribble it into the corner, he presses up on Tatum and is right there to just block. I mean, it's perfect defense. It's like Tom Lemanski, if he put together a defensive video, like that is literally what Bridges has done these last two games. It's not just like a physical great play or, a little, it's perfect. His body control is perfect. He's exactly where he should be. He's got his eyes right where he should be. His instincts are pitch perfect. He goes for the ball in both scenarios. Like, to end the game with the Celtics having a chance to win it in the finals, it's one thing Brunson hits the shot. It's amazing. It's wonderful. Brunson hits the three against the Pistons. It's incredible. These are just as sexy, man. To watch Tatum dribble the ball across the court, dribble himself pretty much into a double team in the corner and then just like lift up to pass and be met right there by Bridges. It's an incredible defensive play. Off of an even, you could even argue the other one was even better to just snatch it out of his hands. They're both really incredibly well positioned. Like, you can't play the ball any better than what Bridges did in both those scenarios. And think about that. Like, just think about the idea that the Boston Celtics, the defending champs, after blowing 20-point leads, have the final possessions of the game in back-to-back games. Back-to-back games, they dominate the first half, or at least the second quarter in the first game, but they dominate the first half. They have 20-point leads in the third quarter, only to watch them slip through their fingers, but still have the opportunity to take the final shot of the game. And in both games, they can't get a shot off. It ends with the ball in Bridges' hands, throwing it up into the air to waste away the last few tenths of a second. Like, that is incredible. It's incredible that those games are so eerily similar, and it's incredible that Bridges comes through with that play, and it's incredible that the Celtics are so confused with what to do that they can't get shots off. I know we talk about how much they missed and how many missed threes they had and the record and all this stuff, and they missed 14 shots in a row in the fourth quarter, and they go 8 minutes without a field goal. All of that, all the missed shots, it doesn't end with a missed shot. It doesn't end with a missed three-pointer. It ends without even being able to get the shot off. I mean, the Knicks have been unbelievable at the end of these games. And defensively, those last two possessions, you could put them in the Hall of Fame. Like, they are as good as an end-of-game defensive sequence in back-to-back games as you could possibably have. And it's led to a 2-0 series lead that you can't fathom that they have. Rob in Westfield, what's up, Rob? Rob, you there? No? Okay. Whatever, Rob. Don't join in. Take your ball and go home. 888-808-1019. Oh, yeah, that's right. And I forgot. I wanted to talk. The one, I think this is telling. And, like, I really feel, and for whatever reason, maybe I'm harping on it too much, I don't know. But Mazzulla said it and was asked about it in the post game, and to me, it is exactly like, if you want to look for one moment, one strategy, one sign that the Boston Celtics don't know what to do at the end of this game. That the Boston Celtics are completely inside their own heads. Nothing tells that story better than fouling Mitch Robinson to get him off the floor when they're not near the bonus. They wanted no part of Mitch Robinson. And his response to the question, without being led into that scenario, that's my paint on it. He's just asked about them fouling at the end of the game. His response is exactly how I took it, and I think is telling, and hopefully should pump up Mitch Robinson and this Knicks team. So this is his response when asked about how he feels about the Celtics fouling him at the end of the game.
Actually, that makes me feel like I'm a threat. You want me out of the game? So I mean, hey, play ball.
You flattered by it?
Huh?
You flattered by it?
I guess. I'm just saying, you trying to get me out of the game. Why y'all want me out of the game?
It makes me feel like a threat. That's exactly what he was. And that's exactly what the Celtics told Mitch Robinson and the New York Knicks. That you guys are a threat and we don't know how to handle it. You're a threat and we didn't think you would be one. It's almost akin to, and I can't remember what other scenario I brought this analogy up, but it's almost akin to the Russian Olympic team when they're playing the Soviets. They've been so dominant for so long and have never struggled against the United States that late in the third period when they're losing, they don't know how to handle it. The Celtics have been such a high-level three-point shooting team that has won games that way, including winning a championship that way last year, have dominated the New York Knicks to such a level that they're not sure how to handle what the Knicks have presented them. And honestly, I think part of it is, like, I know that Mitch wasn't there for every one of the games, but I feel like they've been hiding. They didn't want to show the Celtics this double big. They didn't want, like, they're presenting things new. They're switching. They're not fighting through screens. They're switching. Like, I kind of want to, just because I want to, because I'm in such a good mood. I kind of want to give Tibbs credit for kind of playing rope-a-dope. I kind of want to give Tibbs credit for not playing his hand in meaningless regular season games and suddenly throwing a bunch of stuff at them in this series that they don't know how to handle. Makes me feel like a threat. That's exactly how Mitch Robinson should take it. He is a threat, and they don't know how to handle it. And they wanted him off the floor because his defense is too good, because he made life too difficult for Tatum, because he was stealing passes, he was deflecting balls, he was diving on for loose balls. Like, he was a absolute beast defensively, and they didn't want to deal with it. They didn't want to deal with it. The Boston Celtics didn't want to deal with Mitchell Robinson. If that isn't a perfect way to put what we saw, like, they are so out of their element that they're afraid of Mitchell Robinson. We would have laughed at that. We've been talking about getting Mitch off the floor ourselves. Can't have him on the floor. Can't hit a foul shot. You know, we've been talking about how Tibbs is going to handle getting him off the floor. The Celtics want to do it. It's amazing to me. That is such a telltale sign that they don't know which way is up. A guy, an afterthought in the series. Like, you thought he'd play a role in defensively, and, you know, no doubt, but ultimately, Not someone I deemed as a key figure in the series. And maybe I'm wrong, and maybe you're sitting at home going, what are you talking about? I always thought he'd be a key figure in the series. Okay. But he's Mitchell Robinson. He can't hit a foul shot. He shot an air ball today. Or yesterday now. He can't catch a pass. He doesn't look nearly as athletic around the rim. He doesn't look as good a rebounder as he normally does. He doesn't look necessarily as good a rim protector. And certainly I don't see him like, you know, a couple of slams. He doesn't have that. Every time they try to throw him the ball, he's just off a bit. His jump is just off a bit. He doesn't look completely right to me. And yet he is such a threat to the Boston Celtics. They are putting themselves in the bonus to get him off the floor. That is the best example of how they are completely famished, for lack of a better term, in the fourth quarter of these games. Steve in Brooklyn, let's get back to the call. Steve in Brooklyn, you're on the Fan. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Chris? I got a couple of nick points I want to make, mostly about Thibodeau. But first thing I want to say, too, is that if they're not in the bonus, that Holiday foul on Brunson isn't free throws.
Right.
With 10 seconds left, which is so, so important.
No doubt.
My Thibodeau points, though, obviously the minute stuff all season long, everyone's ragged on it. You know, there's no need to play Mikal Bridges the first 46 and a half minutes of a game against Charlotte in early December when you went by 25 points.
Right.
But you can see this time of the year now, it's like baseball, and they have these guys, they baby the pitchers all year round, and then the October comes and they say throw 110. These Knick guys, they're ready to play 44 minutes, and these guys aren't. You look at the Cavaliers, Donovan Mitchell the other night, playing 31, 34 minutes in a playoff game. These guys, the Knicks are trained for the race
right, and
the marathon, not only the race. So there has been a benefit of the minute load, and you're seeing it right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair statement. I think there is something to that. Now, the fear last year was all the injuries, and you're kind of worried about that. And you're also, hey, look, this is only, you know, they have a lot more games. They've won 6 games. They have to win 10 more. So hopefully that stays that way. But you're right. Now, Mitchell also, you got to remember, not to harp on that point. I understand your point with the minutes he played, but he's got to do everything. He's down 3 other starters. I mean, and he scored a ton of points. Like he had to work so hard in the minutes he played that you had to give him some kind of blow. But and they were up big for a long stretch. So I'm just saying other players play minutes too in the postseason. I mean, you know, Tatum played 42 minutes in this game. Now he wasn't very good. He did get 14 rebounds. He actually was a +3 in the game, only 13 points. And clearly, you know, I think it's fair to say the wrist is bothering him. And that's why the shot's off a little bit. But yeah, the Knicks, without question, in both series have been the better, more physical, better decision-making, mentally tougher team, and physically more prepared team in the fourth quarter. You can't argue it. And if that's the case, what else would you point to other than they're used to playing these kind of minutes? They're used to having to make smart decisions this tired? And it's these knock-em-out, drag-em-out games have been bothering them less than their opponent. And that absolutely is at the feet of the coach. He is, and I had questions about him, and, you know, on some level I still do, but he has had an amazing series. The conversation about him not being the coach next year, I think, is probably, unless there is some sort of major disaster, and because, like, even if they lose the series, it's not a major disaster, and Tibbs has done a really nice job stealing these 2 games. Like, Tibbs is the guy now. That's it. The conversation around Thibodeau is over. But I mean, I agree. All the concerns about the minutes, they're legitimate. I still have concerns if they're going to win another 10 games. But so far, I think you have a very strong argument to say that is part of the reason they're in the position they're in with how many minutes they played and how well-prepared they are for the fourth quarter of these games. 888-808-1019. We're going to get right to your calls on the other side. We're going to say good morning. And then we're going to get back to your Knick calls as we celebrate a 91-90 victory in Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Semifinals, where the New York Knicks steal both games in Boston and set themselves up for a chance to do something nobody thought they could.